ladies and gentlemen of Lafayette.
The Hammered Down Show with Jared Jesulaitis is Lafayette's number one sports show.
Yes, I'm excited!
He totally went to Jared.
The voice of Lafayette sports.
The cream of the crop! Nobody does it better.
Send us your thoughts on the text line at 765-447-4080.
Now go to that voodoo that you do so well!
That's what we got. All right. Love to hear from you guys. Plenty to discuss here today. Let's dive right into the things that are happening as we speak. It's Need to Know News.
Here's your Need to Know News.
The Purdue men's basketball team. Well, they had a pretty good season. Now, John Rothstein says they've got a date with Texas A&M at Gainbridge Fieldhouse December the 14th. A&M this year, 21-15, got bounced in the second round of the tourney. They lost to Houston, 195, in that OT game. Last time these two got together was the 2010 NCAA tournament. Boilers won 63-61 to get to the Sweet 16. They've also played the Vegas Classic back in 2001. Who could forget that? So, if this is the way we have to extract our revenge for taking away Nick Scorton, then so be it. Let's go. This is a good matchup, though. Right? I think we learned. I don't think. Well, we'll get into it a little bit, all right? Masters weekend. Fantastic. Former Purdue golfer Adam Shank finished 12th, tied for 12th in the Masters over the weekend. That performance gets him an invite back next year as well. Shank, one over through four rounds at Augusta. Scotty Scheffler would eventually win at 11 under. But Shank just one stroke out of the top 10, which would have been freaking amazing. Still, 12th, much better than you can do or I can do. Represented the school well. You'll love to see it. And Purdue did a really good job because they just had him on the This Is Purdue podcast not too long ago. Like, we squeezed a lot of juice out of this. We really did. And the fact that he played so well, got made the cut and then played so well, even better. As they said on The Simpsons, stop, they're already dead. 21-0, Purdue completes the sweep of Michigan State yesterday. Sparty, oh boy, that's a demoralizing day, man. Boilermakers have won seven straight games in Big Ten play. They swept back-to-back conference weekends for the first time since 2018. They're in second place right now in the Big Ten. They outscore Michigan State this weekend 42-3. Dear Lord. Softball, they've been hot. Did lose yesterday to the Illini 4-1, but here's the deal. They won the first two games, so they take that series. They're going to turn around. They got a doubleheader down in Bloomington coming up on Wednesday. Best of luck to that squad. How about women's golf? Couple of 70s from Momo Sugiyama and Ashley Kozlowski. And Purdue women 1 under, 287 in the final round of their Buckeye Invitational. They shot up two spots on the leaderboard on the last day. Third place for them. Boilermakers, the only team outside of Ohio State to record an under-par round at the Scarlet Course. Purdue earned its fifth top three finish of the season. Momo ties for fourth overall. Ashley comes in at seventh. Good golf weekend. Colts have signed defensive tackle DeForest Buckner to a big old extension, which was probably a good idea given that you spent draft capital to get the guy, right? Adam Schefter says it's a two-year deal, $46 million. He was entering the final year of a four-year, $84 million contract that he had signed previously with San Francisco. It's good work if you can get it. you know, Colts defensive tackle. But we can't get him. We stink. Blackhawks, they dropped their fourth game in a row, 4-2 loss. It's their final home game of the season against Carolina. They got two more on the road, and then the season will mercifully be over for the Blackhawks. Getting on over to baseball, the Cubs took the last two of their series against Seattle with a 3-2 win on the road. Michael Busch now has homers in four straight games. Assad gets the win, 5 2/3, 4 hits, 2 earned, 6 Ks. Seiya Suzuki's been hot, man. He's got 7 hits over his last 5 games. Got a tough matchup tonight in Arizona where the Diamondbacks are waiting. Merrill Kelly's on the mound, 2-0 on the season. Ben Brown, not a great start down there in Texas on the year, but he's settled in over the last couple of games. So there you go. That's tonight. White Sox got swept by the Reds, 11-4 loss yesterday. It is miserable to watch them. They were outscored in the series 27-5. Royals in town tonight. It's rough at the plate. Qualifying batters that lead. One guy leads the White Sox. Qualified batter. Andrew Vaughn. 185. Ugh. Not great, Bob. And there you go. That is today's Need to Know News for this beautiful Monday, April the 15th. I mean, that's bad. It's like Fort Wayne bad. I know they're dealing some injuries. They're hoping Aloy comes. Like, Aloy's supposed to come off the DL today, or IL, sorry. The IL today. But that list is long, and I don't think he's ready to go and jump right back in it. The White Sox, by the way, are 0-4 this year against the Royals. Losses 10-1, 2-1, 3-0, 5-3. So you're saying... No, I'm not going to say it. Nick Mastriani's going to get the start here. We'll see how that works. But Casey's a minus 170 favorite in that one. It just blows my mind at how poorly, because they really had some runs in spring training. And I know it's spring, but I mean, they had a lot of guys hitting the ball. But this is what the lineup yesterday looked like. Grossman hitting 222 in the leadoff. Benintendi 145. Vaughn 185. Sheets is hitting 286. Lee's hitting 269. Fletcher 250. Sosa's 200. Young is 176. And Lopez is 143. So you got four guys in the lineup that aren't even... Sosa's hitting 200. So you got five... Half of your lineup is hitting 200 or worse. And your leadoff hitter is hitting 222. You're not going to win games doing that. That is so bad. Ugh. All right, so what are we looking at here tonight? Let's look for some best bets. Let's go out to Philadelphia where Aaron Nola's on the mound, and he has not been great. Through three starts, he's got a 4.50 ERA, expected ERA 5.84, and he has only been able to turn in one quality start, getting just 6 innings once. It's not great. This season, he has struck out 3, 4, and 3 batters in his three starts. Right now, he's looking at 6.5. We're going to hit the under on this one as Colorado comes in. The Rockies are among one of the worst offenses in the league. But, again, we're going with this steady bit here. We're taking Nola under 6.5. That's going to be my play today. By the way, we did cash the Adam Schenck top 20 in the Masters. So we're already off to a good start here. But I'm going to take Nola. Go ahead and give me that under. I'll go ahead. I'll fade the White Sox tonight, too, against the Royals. Minus 170. I mean, look, if you want to take that, if you want to take that run line, go right ahead. I wouldn't hate it if you went with a little sprinkle there on that run line here this evening. They are on the south side. This is not going to be out in Kansas City, but still. At least it should be a gorgeous day for foot or football for baseball, right? I mean, it's so nice out here. I haven't really checked the weather out there, but it should be pretty nice up there on the south side. Winds blowing in 6 miles per hour, 63. At 6 o'clock, it drops down to the low 50s by 9. Yeah, I'll go ahead. Again, we just ran down those numbers. No problem. No problem. I'll watch some of that Chicago and Arizona game tonight, Chase Field. It's a 9:40 start. That should be a nice little pitching matchup. I'd like to see if Brown's going to continue to perform like he has those second two games, or if he's going to regress down to his form in that Texas game. But that should be another really good matchup. Merrill Kelly's a good pitcher too. So let's see what happens. If you want to go hop on with our friends on ESPN Bet, you know, you hear me talk about those guys all the time. You can think about going ahead and taking was it Bush, right? Bush is on the 4-game homer streak for you tonight. If you think he's going to go for 5, I'm not a huge fan of the matchup. But if you are in the market for a home run guy and you want to roll with, you know, your Cub, ESPN Bet tonight will have Bush at plus 550 to hit that home run. That's pretty darn good. 5-1 on your money. So, yeah, you want to see him continue to streak? That's the way you bet. Don't forget, must be 21 and over. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Where are you going? Hang tight. Come right back here, and we'll hook you up with plenty more local sports talk here on the Hammer Down Show on 101.7 The Hammer and 101.7thehammer.com. Always taking your thoughts on the Hammerhead Hotline. Text them in to 765-447-4080. Again, 765-447-4080. Welcome back. Jared Jesulaitis here in the Hammer Down Show. Big weekend here. As you know, we told you on campus, with baseball absolutely rolled. We had the spring game on Saturday. It was very nice out there. I was unable to get out to the daughter's soccer game, but got to watch, you know, replay and stuff on BTN. It's a great event. Look, just to have it back in Ross-Ade State, that's the best part for me. Right? Because we've had some years here where it hasn't been able to happen. Fans haven't been able to attend. And now these things, it's not a game anymore. It's a scrimmage. There's some special, which is great because you're putting in a lot of hard work, and Purdue certainly has seen its share of terrible, you know, injuries derailing, you know, seasons before they ever get started. So I understand with that. It's also one of those, like, Nate Barrett used to tell us this all the time on the football show. He says, guys, you know, the most popular player on any team with the fans is always the backup quarterback. And, you know, you like that because you see a glimpse of the future. I think you like Hudson Card still. That's great. And, again, I think it's part of it is you can be wowed by something that is unknown and you're seeing it for the first time. But also, I think you're still stuck in the same gear of, hey, aren't we supposed to have a quarterback competition? I'm supposed to feel some kind of way. That's what we do around here, right? Every season. It's not the same one. Like, I get it. Still kind of working out those kinks a little bit, right? But that's what it is. There's only so much you take away from it. It's not like we're having these great exotic play calls and stuff. You're seeing some good throws. You want to see some good athleticism, some accuracy. But even the accuracy, I tend to not worry too much about, because you look at what's come in, right? You look at how many moving pieces have joined this machine, and you say, well, timing's, you know, you have to work on that. You have to bond on that. But for the most part, it seemed like things pretty much in sync. Look, I wanted to see size, athleticism, and just what appeared to be some competence. That's what you needed. That's what you need out of the spring game. And I think you got that. But you heard when we had Tom Deanhart on the program here on Friday, you know, 16 some odd transfers in. Is that what we did? You got your freshmen incoming early, too. A few of those. You got a lot of new offensive linemen trying to get everybody on the same page, find out what works here, what works. It's a lot. So, you know, knowing that and knowing what the turnover is and the time to adjust and all that, I lower my bar here of what I feel like I want to. Look, I would love it to look, they look like the greatest team ever in the spring. That'd be great. It's not going to be the reality because of just how much you've had to replace, how much you've had to move guys to different spots, asking different responsibility. It takes time to get adjusted to that. And to think that, you know, these guys could have waltzed in January and in like 2 to 3 months have this down to an absolute science, that's a little unreasonable. I'm not lowering the bar because I don't think they're good. I'm lowering the bar because I understand how long it takes to install offenses and get used to things. And let's not forget, this is a coaching staff that, you know, just turned a year old, essentially. Right? So I've had a little bit more time to prepare, and that's great. But where are you putting the bar? And so I look, when I go into something like the spring game, I say, there are intangibles that I definitely need to see. You wanted to see some size, some speed, some athleticism. That makes you feel good. If it looked a little out of sync at times, I'm okay. You don't hit a panic button in March like that. You just don't. There's only so much you're going to be able to take away from it. And I say, I can take away athleticism. I can see that. I can see some speed, but nobody's tipping a hand of what they're going to do with certain players, how they're going to line up, things like that. It all stays very vanilla. You're watching guys battle each other. Same guys that have been battling each other in practice for the last couple of months. They know each other pretty darn well. So there's only so much I can take away from it. And the other big Boilermaker news today was the fact that John Rothstein reported the Boilermakers are going to welcome in Texas A&M to Gainbridge Fieldhouse on December the 14th. Now, the whole thing's not set. I was wondering if for some reason that might take the place of the game against Arizona, right? Because we owe them the game that's supposed to be played in Las Vegas. I had heard rumblings that they were trying to move that to Phoenix and make it closer to Arizona. I don't know what the status of that was. And then I wondered if they just say, oh, I guess we won't play. If we're not going to play it in Vegas, we're not going to play it. And we scheduled something else. I don't know if it's still on or not. But this is another quality opponent. I just think that there is a very good correlation with Purdue playing one of its toughest schedules and then making it as far as they did. Certainly the talent that they have on there, there's something to be said for that, but the way that that schedule sharpened them and prepared them, I think 100% made a difference. So now here you are. You're not going the old Big 12 route, right? You're going in there with, again, another really good solid schedule. You've got that, the Rady's Children's Hospital thing. You get those, we love those folks in Arkansas. We'll get them again there with Notre Dame and, oh my goodness, who was the other team in that? It was like Arkansas, is it BYU or TCU? One of those two? I think it was BYU. I mean, you got that. So already, schedule with some good teams on it. And again, I think it makes a difference when you schedule really good teams. That in turn makes you really good. I mean, look at Houston got upset by Duke, and I don't think that was a very good Duke team, but they still managed to beat Houston, who won that conference. You know, where else out of the big, you know, Iowa State, there was another one, right? They lost to a lower seed two in Illinois. So I think there's a bit of a correlation, very big correlation in what you're doing in your offseason And so I applaud Purdue for being able to go out and do that. Now, there's also something to be said when you know you ain't got a team, you know you got a young team, and you got to develop it, and you got to develop confidence, and you don't go out there and play anybody. There is something to be said about that. But that is not Purdue's program. Matt Painter's done a tremendous job of continuing to stock just great talent. He's got one of his best classes coming in, and he's got entrenched leadership that knows how to do it the right way in good culture. You do not need to be taking it easy on anybody. If anything, you have hit this plateau of what you did this year, and now is the time to start building off of that and go even higher. So I love the addition of Texas A&M. I love that Texas A&M says, listen, we want a shot at one of the best programs in the country. We want to get better. I'm with it. Let's go. This is a great job by Purdue to get this done. Like I said, I can't wait to see the full schedule. Let's see if everything still pans out. Listen, don't quote me on the Arizona thing. It was just some of the rumblings that I heard. It may or may, you never know these days. Oh, and don't forget, I blogged about this. If you go to 1017thehammer.com, apparently the basketball team outside, I think Zach's not going to be there. But everybody else, I think Hudson Card's was at Legacy tonight. They're doing like a meet and greet. And get some stuff signed if you want to. There's details. If you go to 1017thehammer.com, it's got all of it for you right there. So make sure you check it out. We're going to take a break. Where are you going? Hang tight. More local sports next on 1017 The Hammer and 1017thehammer.com. Back on a Hammer Down show, 1017 The Hammer, 1017thehammer.com with Jared Jesulaitis. Thank you for making me a part of your gorgeous Monday out there. Colts fans waking up some good news today. The Colts re-signing DeForest Buckner. 2 years, $46 million contract extension. So that keeps him on through 2026. And you say to yourself, good, for a couple of reasons. One, it was good. This is a defensive tackle market where guys are really getting paid. And you get fair market there for him. And you already traded away pick number 13 to get the guy, right? So it's nice that you're able to use that. You know, you use such draft capital to get a guy that performs for you here, and you hate it to be any kind of a rental. The fact that you can turn it around and make him a long-term guy for you has been great for the Colts. And the spending, I would call it a spree, but I think they've done a good job of spending a lot of cap money on keeping their players. And yeah, there's something to be said. We talk about this all the time in the college world, in the amount of mercenaries that you've got out there, those guns for hire, so to speak. That, you know, it's a little more about the paycheck than it is for the team. But you're keeping Buckner for 2 years. Pittman gets his deal. He stays 3 years. Kenny Moore stays for 3 years. Grover Stewart staying for 3. Zaire Franklin. You know, you got Sanchez in, too, for another 3. Those guys that you invested in early on, you're able to retain. And that's not always the case. You know, it's very hard. Very hard out there in free agency these days. But they spend their money wisely here. Colts salary cap looks like this at this point. They have $14.6 million left in total cap space. That puts them 17th in the league. Which is right about, that's the league average. So it's not bad. The new Buckner deal, he'll count 22.7 against the cap this season. Quentin Nelson remains your highest paid guy. He's a 26 mil cap hit guy. Other guys we talked about, the ones that have signed the extensions, Pittman's 18, then it's Braden Smith. Jonathan Taylor down to 10. Grover makes a top 10. Zaire Franklin's a top 10 guy. But when your top player's only eating up less than 10% of your salary cap, you can build. You can certainly build. And, of course, it helps when your starting quarterback is making $7 million on a rookie deal. It does. There's been a lot of big splashes, a lot of flashy moves in the AFC South, especially down in Houston. To be able to retain guys that know what it's like to play here in Indianapolis, are comfortable with the coaching staff, that continuity. There's a lot to be said about the continuity of a team. I think the Colts have been very wise in the way they've spent this money. Certainly don't hate it. Now, Bears in a much different boat. Bears actually have $23 million to spend. You know their big splash is still going to be in the draft. Although Keenan Allen was a pretty big splash, I'm not going to lie. The draft coming up this, in a couple of weeks. Very excited about that. And I'm sure the Colts will... I know everybody's coming in for these interviews and stuff here, too. Everybody's like, oh, gosh, could you imagine if we got Marvin Harrison Jr. and you relive the old glory days? There's plenty of stuff to get hyped about this NFL season. I'm so excited, especially with this draft, because for the first time in a long time, it seems to be like there is a lot of uncertainty in it. I mean, outside of the Bears are going to take Caleb Williams, it just seems like there's not a lot of consensus on what happens after that. A lot of talks about people trading out and trading down. Doesn't seem to be a clear consensus on how the quarterback spot is going to unfold. And for as much as I think the movie Draft Day is ridiculous, but I will still watch it every time it comes on for some odd reason, even though I hate the Cleveland Browns. Maybe it's because I never see Cleveland win anything, and it's kind of, you like new stuff. But it only takes one pick in an unexpected spot for these things like to kind of cascade. I feel like this year's draft actually has a little bit of room to do that, which is great. Because there's nothing more boring than sitting around watching that clock tick down, what is it, like 6-7 minutes now? It used to be like 10. And you're waiting, and you're waiting, you're waiting, and then it's like the pick is in. And then you're like, okay, cool. And then they'll go to commercial. And then you'll wait, come back, and then you'll finally get that. And then finally somebody else will be on the clock, and then you sit around here and wait. Like, and you know what the next pick's going to be, essentially. It's boring. I need red zone for draft picks. Can my friends over Xfinity do something to where, like, I'm watching something and then, like, the little screen pops up when Goodell finally makes it to the thing, and I can just, boop, all right, pause what I'm watching, kick over, and see what the next pick is? That's what I need. I need red zone for the draft. I could program it by my teams, maybe, for, like, the rest. It's like you're watching the first, and sometimes you'll check out the second. You wait and see when your team is going to pick third, the rest of the weekend. But if I get like a little box that popped up, and I'd be like, oh, cool, my team's picking. Let's go. It's an award-winning feature. Look at me. Out here coming up with all the good ideas. All the good ideas. Another good idea? Taking care of your mobile hotspot. If your mobile hotspot's not getting the job done, well, you got to get an on-the-go connection you can count on. With Now Wi-Fi Pass, it's just $10 for 30 days. Sometimes you need fast internet, like right now, no matter where you are, because your favorite gamer's live stream ain't going to wait for you to get home. And neither will your boss, who's standing by in a video conference that you totally forgot about. So when you get the need for speed, you can connect in seconds with Now Wi-Fi Pass to over 22 million Xfinity Wi-Fi hotspots nationwide. You don't need any additional equipment, and there are no commitments and no cancellation fees. That means you can dip in and out whenever you want, no strings attached. Now through April 24th, get 30 days of Xfinity Wi-Fi hotspot access and unlimited data for only $10 with no commitments and no cancellation fees. Visit Xfinity.com/Wi-Fi Pass to find a hotspot today. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. After promo, regular rates apply. Currently $20 for 30 days. Pricing subject to change. Actual speeds vary and are not guaranteed. All right, when we come back, the things we may have missed and more as we wrap up the Hammer Down Show. 1017 The Hammer and 1017TheHammer.com. Rolling on the Hammer Down Show, 1017 The Hammer, 1017TheHammer.com. Jared Gisellatis, how you doing? And thank you for making me a part of a gorgeous Monday. I wanted to get into some of the things that we may have missed, right? We had so much stuff going on here. Shout out to Ant Wright. Let's analyze this tweet here. Some reporter named, or some AP voter, Nick Alvarez, University of Alabama athletics reporter. You already just said, oh boy. Like, you know what's coming, right? His final AP poll, after everything that we've done here, right? Season's over. Purdue is at 8. UConn number 1, Duke number 2, Alabama number 3, followed by Kansas, North Carolina, Iowa State, Gonzaga. All in front of Purdue, who made the national championship game and beat two of those teams. One of those teams they beat twice, including knocking them out of the tournament. Bruh, as the kids say. You got to be kidding me. By the way, Rutgers he had in 24th. They did not finish above 500. 24th. Our friends in Arkansas, congratulations, after they won the preseason Super Bowl, finished 20th in his poll at 16-17. I really hope that these people get sorted out. Like, there should be some criteria. If you're that out of whack at the end of the year, we should regulate. You know how they do in that European soccer stuff where they relegation? I think if you are so far out of whack, like the bottom like 4 or 5, and there's going to be this gulf here between, like, you know, everybody else and your insanity, see you later. It's so ridiculous. I don't know what's dumber. This is just from a Big Ten perspective, okay? Purdue at 8, or the fact that he put Rutgers at 24, which is actually ahead of Michigan State at 25. The answer? Neither. It's Maryland at 21. Like, how are you allowed to have? How can you be so bad? How can you be so bad? It's a joke, right? We're joking? I'll write it down in my diary. Nick Alvarez had a very funny joke. We laughed. The Indianapolis Colts and the IHSAA announced earlier today that they will extend their state championship partnership. So the football state championship games will continue to be played at Lucas Oil Stadium. The IHSAA is so excited and grateful to continue this partnership with the Indianapolis Colts. Without the Colts and their support, Indiana high school football wouldn't be as spectacular as it is on Friday nights in the fall. Colts have also partnered with the IHSAA on some other initiatives too, most notably girls high school flag football, the press release says. This will mark the 15th year of the agreement, first struck in 2009. So good. Don't like change. Keep it where it's at. Centrally located. Don't need to change it. You know what else we don't need to change? The NCAA tournament. But here we go. Another new article here from the Sports Business Journal. Talk to former NBA and ESPN executives and their recommendations for March Madness. Former, keywords here, and ESPN executives. You know, the ones who don't have the rights to March Madness. Those guys would like to chime in. They have great ideas. And they're all terrible. I mean, forget about expanding the field, which we already know is absolutely ridiculous. What they suggest doing is open the men's tournaments on Saturday, Sunday instead of Thursday, Friday. No, I got 4 days. There's 4 days, man. We're doing 4 days. They'd like you to use home arenas for both the tournaments and the first weekends, similar to what the women do. So you got like the pods. Look, I would love that for the atmosphere, but no. We're trying to determine the best men's college basketball team. Neutral sites. That's only that's fair. You are giving the top seed such an unreal competitive advantage to let them play two games at home. So terrible. And then you have the suggestion to hold the men's and women's Final Fours in the same city. And on the surface, I think, look, that's a great idea, right? Could you imagine doing like it's a four-day weekend? You could do Friday with the women's and Saturday with the men's and then Sunday with the women's and then Monday with the men's. But the logistics, and we're talking about 8 different teams. I mean, you're doubling the size of the event. It's already pretty big. If you went out to Arizona, how well did it fare trying to get into some of those Purdue bars? Finding that Purdue merch is that. Now, go through that fan fest. Packed, right? Now, let's double that. No. Okay. Actually, might not be realistic to say exactly double from the in attendance from the women's men, but let's at least say another at least 70% more people. Miserable. How easy was it to get those flights in and out, right? Terrible. On the surface, sounds like it would be this great idea, big party all weekend long. You got them both, same place. But the logistics of that, the hotels, the flights. Because if you're there to watch the men's games, right, you may just pick up tickets to those women's games as well. It just gets so crazy. Why do they? It's so perfect. Why do we have to change it? What about it is not working? And the only thing that I can come back to is it doesn't make enough money for the people that make money off of it. It's already an ungodly amount of money. It's already stupid enough that we play it on a Monday night at 9 o'clock because it's out there on the West Coast. That stinks. Do you want to change something? Change that. But don't. No. We're not doing home games. No. We're not merging this, and we're certainly not cutting the opening weekend in half. Why would you do that? Again, this came from Sports Business Journal. The people quote in the article, former NBA and ESPN executives. People that don't have a job in basketball anymore, and people who don't have the license for the tournament. Reasons for these things. Reasons. Well, there's a reason I'm about ready to hop on off of here. That's about all my time for today. It's been a fantastic Monday. Don't forget our plays tonight. We're on the NOLA under 6.5. We're going to go ahead and take Kansas City tonight as well. Plays on ESPN Bet. Go ahead and check them out. That will do it for us here today. Tomorrow, man, I have no idea. That's Tuesday Jared's problem. But I'll tell you this. Tuesday Jared's going to show up at 3 o'clock tomorrow. Tuesday, Jared's going to have an hour full of local sports talk, including your texts and more. That's tomorrow back here on the Hammer Down Show on 101.7 The Hammer and 101.7thehammer.com. I will see you back here tomorrow.